Alright, this is the weekly segment of the show that a lot of you wait for. Wednesdays around this time, every Wednesday around this time is our segment that we call Catching Up with Chris Coleman on ESPN 1430, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar and Grill on Main Street. Mr. Coleman, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
You were dead on with the 80-plus yards for Mr. Brandon Orr. You know that, right?
I finally called a good game this year. I didn't do a good job with ECU. I obviously didn't do a good job with LSU, but I got the margin right. I said 31-10.
Yes, you did.
Ended up being 28-7. I got the margin right. Said 80-some yards for Orr. So I don't know if I'll be able to back that up this week or not, but it was a good week last week.
Good week for you. Good week for Tyrod Taylor. First start for him, and impressive numbers, 18 of 31, 287, three sacks. Sacks, we'll let him slide for the sacks because he don't play offensive line. One rushing touchdown, the go-ahead rushing touchdown, and even on the first drive, the only drive in the first half, was 5 of 6, 49 yards, had two third down conversions. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say this, man, but he keeps impressing me every time he touches the football.
Absolutely. He's a very talented player. And, you know, I'm going to use this word again. I hate using it because everybody else uses it about him, but he's just so poised. I mean, how many times do you see an 18-year-old freshman without the benefit of going through spring practice coming into a starting lineup? It's one thing if a guy goes through spring ball. You know, any true freshman you see starting nowadays went through spring practice. Taylor did not, which makes him starting right now, you know, it just shows what an impressive player he is. And I'll make a comment about the sacks. One of the sacks was actually a third down situation. Brian Steinspring anticipated an all-out blitz, and that's exactly what they got. It was an all-out blitz up the middle, and Tech was setting up a screen pass. All the linemen just let the defenders come through. Kenny Lewis Jr. could not get through. He was caught up in some of the defenders. There was nobody to throw the ball to, no receivers. He just had to eat the sack on that play. So, you know, that one really wasn't the offensive line's fault, just one of those things. Give Ohio credit. But, you know, overall, I think he'd like to have one throw back, and that was the overthrow to Josh Morgan on fourth down. Other than that, it's a pretty flawless game for a true freshman.
You know, and we can talk about poise, and you're going to hear that word thrown around him because at 18, he's in Division I football as a true freshman. At some point, barring injury, he's going to take it to another level, and they're going to say the same things about him there when he's 20, 21, 22 years old and playing that same way, because at this level, if he's not shocked and if he's not starstruck and he's not deer in headlights now at this level, there's no reason why he can't take this to the next level and be the same way.
Oh, yeah, you know, there are certain things you can't take away from people, you know, and poise is one of them. You know, his arm strength might be an A on the college level. Maybe it's only a B-plus on NFL level, but he's going to still have the same amount of poise. You know, you can never take that away from him. So I think, you know, whether his future's in football or whether it's in business or something like that, he's always going to have that poise. He's always going to have that leadership ability that's going to draw people to him, and he's going to be very successful at any level, no matter what he does.
Let's talk about the wide receivers, and we're talking to Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. And if you have a question, feel free to dial us up at 961-1430, 961-1430, or 866-961-1430. We open up the phone lines to you. As a matter of fact, you call and have a question for Chris, we will give you a gift certificate for lunch at Champs. Wide receivers, Josh Morgan, 6'419". I'm sure he enjoyed playing with number 5 on Saturday. To me, to have a guy have that type of breakout game after playing two games and not having 119 yards combined, what's that say about, you know, what Tyrod does to the offense?
Well, you know, they obviously have something there. You know, obviously Josh Morgan really likes Tyrod as a quarterback. Morgan's getting open. Tyrod's finding him. I got to give some props to Josh Morgan on his performance, actually. He broke his finger against LSU, had a pin put in his finger, had a hole drilled on the top of his finger, had a pin put in it last week, still played. Now, Tyrod Taylor throws the ball really hard. Morgan was still able to get in there, catch 6 passes for 119 yards. That's a very impressive performance with a pin just put in your finger just a few days before. But, yeah, obviously the receivers really like Taylor. He's not afraid to throw him the ball. He's not mechanical back there. If he sees him open, he's going to throw it to him, you know. And, you know, that'll probably catch up to him at some point when somebody gets some film on him, sees some tendencies. But It's really got to be fun to be a Tech wide receiver right now.
How about if you're a fullback? And I talked to Carlton Weatherford yesterday about this, about what changes for you when you have a pocket passer, as Glennon was, to a guy who moves a lot more in Tyrod Taylor. And Carlton said basically, you know what, I got to be heads up. My blocking assignments are pretty much the same, but I have to be heads up because at any time, he can throw me the football.
Yeah, that's right. He could escape pressure, and you know, the first when he escapes pressure, a lot of times the first thing place he's going to be looking is out into the flat because that's the shortest, quickest, easiest pass to make from there. So, yeah, Carlton Weatherford could become a target. They actually gave Carlton the ball down on the goal line for the last two games. Didn't get it in either time, but it's interesting to see. I think they trust Weatherford a little more with the ball in his hands than they have their past few fullbacks.
Len Martez in ESPN 1430, catching up with Coleman, Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com. He talked about getting the ball in the end zone. One guy that got it in on Saturday was backup Kenny Lewis, backup tailback. Two touchdowns for him. We talked a couple of weeks back about the heir apparent. Are we overlooking Kenny Lewis?
I think Kenny's a perfect fit. Maybe not a perfect fit, but a very good fit for the type of offense Tech is running right now. You know, he's not a between-the-tackles, I-formation, grinded-out running back. He's a spread-you-out, out-of-the-shotgun, create a lot of space, I got a lot of speed, you know, I can take it to the house from 50 yards out. He's that type of running back, you know, and I think the way Tech spread it out the other day, four wide receivers, shotgun, pistol formation, that's a brand-new wrinkle. Tech had never done that before. I think that's a really good fit for Lewis's running style, because once he gets in the open field, he's a hard man to catch.
Len Martez at ESPN 1430 with Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com, catching up with Coleman. If you have any questions for Chris, feel free to dial us up 961-1430 or 866-961-1430. And Chris, one of the things that I noticed again on Saturday, and basically it's looking at the scoreboard. You look up and they're trailing again. Are you alarmed at all that this team has not had a lead? They have not taken a lead in the games at all. None of the three games. Are you? I'm not from the actual point from scoring is concerned, but as a matter of getting out on top
right.
front early.
Right.
They've not done that yet this year.
It concerns me to a point. I think, you know, against East Carolina, it was just because they weren't playing well and they were getting whipped in the trenches. Against Ohio, it's more of a case of fumbling on the 5-yard line, you know, overthrowing a receiver, Kenny Lewis dropping a wide-open pass into the flat, you know, things like that. Eddie Royal muffing a punt return, which actually led to Ohio's touchdown. So Tech dominated that game on Saturday. And, you know, it obviously could have been a lot worse than it actually was. You know, Ohio really didn't score on Tech's defense without help, without a questionable personal foul call on Brandon Flowers, without Eddie Royal muffing the punt. You know, they would not have scored on Tech's defense driving the ball down the field. That's a game I felt like Tech could have easily won 40-0 or worse if it hadn't been for the turnovers. You know, and I think if they can get that straightened out, if they can play a complete game, they can be a really good football team. And just hopefully they can keep fine-tuning things, because they got one coming up in a few weeks down at Clemson. And even UNC at home.
October 6th.
Yep. Even UNC at home, they're going to need to play well, because UNC could easily be 3-0 right now.
Speaking of domination, and we're talking to Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com, catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar right here on Main Street. Speaking of domination, 114 total yards allowed by the defense, 5 first downs, none in the second half. Finally, a signature game where I finally saw, you've been around a lot longer than I have, you're into this program, you're a part of the Hokie Nation, but I finally got to see what the defense can do against, you know, another offense where they pretty much locked them up in the second half.
No, they didn't cross midfield in the second half, didn't even get a first down in the second half, and yeah, we're used to seeing things like that out of Virginia Tech's defense. You know, and Ohio's not LSU, which is very obvious, but it's also very obvious that Tech played a lot better than they did against LSU. A lot of the LSU game was Tech just playing poorly. Tech obviously played very well against Ohio, and this is an Ohio team. Their offense is pretty good. They have a good offense. They're picked to win the MAC East this year because of their offense. They were averaging about 430 yards a game coming into this game. They got one of the top running backs you've never heard of in Calvin McRae, who I was impressed with, by the way. I thought he ran the ball as well as he possibly could. But I think that's a sign of things to come by Tech's defense. I think they're going to get it rolling now, and I think they're going to play well the rest of the year.
What's the change? What happened? What happened between LSU and even ECU at some point? Because ECU moved the ball sometimes that first week, too. What has been the change that allows you to only allow 5 first downs and 114 total yards offense.
Well, sometimes you just need a wake-up call, you know. I think, you know, obviously they didn't play well against LSU. East Carolina was kind of, we didn't expect the spread option, but we're seeing it. We took them a while to adjust. Ohio, you know, they knew what to expect. They knew how to attack it, and they went out and dominated the game. And, you know, they were embarrassed after that LSU performance. They were flat-out embarrassed, and they should be because they played terrible. But, you know, I think that had a lot to do with it. I think the defensive tackles in particular really played well this game. I thought they got penetration and were able to, you know, a lot of those option plays that Ohio tried to run was just blown up right up the middle. And, you know, and at that point you've got to go to the sideline. You can't outrun Xavier DB to the sideline. So good game overall by Tech's defense. I think you're going to see more of that the rest of the
year.
You
talk about the defensive line and how they played better in this game. You and I talked last week about LSU, about their guards being able to go straight to the linebackers and get a hit and a chip on the linebackers, number 9 and number 11. When you're able to do that, you basically can run all day long. The difference this week, and you mentioned it, the D tackles and the D linemen actually locked up those guards where you saw Vince. Vince had 2 sacks. He's getting to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. When your defensive tackles do that, it makes the linebacker's job a whole lot easier.
Absolutely. You know, I don't care how good of a linebacker you are, you're not going to be able to consistently get off blocks of offensive linemen because they're so much bigger than you. You've got to be able to be free to run downhill, run to the football, and that's what Hall and DB were able to do on Saturday. Both guys had 3 tackles for loss. Hall had 14 tackles. A DB had 11. And you know, that's the type of performances we were expecting from both of those guys this year. A DB has really put up some impressive stats this year. I think he has 30 total tackles through 3 games, 5 tackles for loss, which leads the team, and a couple of sacks. I think he's had an impressive year, and I think you're going to see more to come from him because that size he put on in the offseason, up to 235 pounds, and he kept that speed. I think he's going to be really hard to handle as we get into ACC play.
All right, Chris, as always, we appreciate the time you spent with us on Wednesdays, and we'll be back on Friday. You and I will discuss taking on the William & Mary and that defense playing against the best scoring team in 1AA. We'll talk on Friday about that.
Looking forward to it.
All right, brother. Thanks, Chris.
Not a problem.
Len Martinez here with you. One more segment with me. We'll be right back on ESPN 1430 as we take you up to 6 o'clock like we do every Monday through Friday right here on ESPN 1430. You know what? We still got those gift certificates. We'll give them away next segment on ESPN 1430.